See when. Guys, welcome back to Unleashed. We are again so glad you are with us. And remember, we are the resistance. And this episode, Kevin is going to be like, he's like the point man this week, right? Like on a SEAL team or something. He's going to be that guy. So for practice sake, I want you to say when.
Say when.
Oh, that's kind of a Doc Holliday kind of.
I'm going for that.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
Well, it's recorded. I can always
actually. It was Doc Holliday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. It was very cool. It was very cool. Anyhow.
Yeah. Well, Brent.
Hey, real quick. What's the last thing that people said when Noah shut the door to the ark?
Oh my gosh. I don't even want
to. Oh, we got to start this off lighthearted.
Yeah, you know, you're listening to this most likely after Brent has had surgery. But he hasn't had surgery yet because we're pre-recording this.
Yeah, we just did the podcast about the upcoming surgery.
So here's my commitment to you folks. If you'll stay after the end of the podcast, I'll come back in and re-record an update so that you can get an update on Brent by the end of this podcast.
Oh, very cool.
Now I have to remember to do that.
Very cool.
that was a good one. You know, Brent. I have a topic in mind, and you asked me to pick one out, so I did. I think sometimes it's a stretch going, how do I tie this to one of my stories? Like, I can't tie it to my story about me fainting that I shared with you before.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because that's not today's topic. This is the opposite.
Yeah, you don't know that story yet, but be ready because it's going to be good.
But I would say this much. You know, as hunters, especially, we know that the woods just aren't forgiving.
Yeah.
Right? The weather, the woods...
Yeah, I always say it'll eat your lunch on the count of one if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, that's for sure. But we have to be prepared. We have to be alert. We have to be disciplined. I think fishing's the same. I got a buddy of mine who, he's a guide on a lake out in Kansas, and we fish there for wipers, which are just...
Wipers?
It's a crossbreed between a white bass and a striped bass. And
they call them wipers.
Well, yeah, striper, white, wiper.
Interesting.
But it can't breed.
I thought maybe it was a catfish because the wiper is a bottom feeder.
No, but they can't breed because they're a crossbreed and they're whatever, incapable of having babies. But they grow 2 pounds a year.
Wow.
That's a lot. And so I remember being out fishing with him and he'll be like, well, this funny thing is this is a story about that lake. It's Cedar Bluffs for those that know Kansas. It's not even about wipers. It just happens to be we love fishing for wipers there. But he'll be like, you need to cast over there. Okay. You flick your line and land it right where you're supposed to land it. Tap, 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 tap. Give it a little bit of action. Bring it back to the boat. He goes, try again. You toss it right in there. Tap, tap. You like give it a little bit of action. Nothing. He goes, man, I swear there's a fish right there. He throws his line in. Tap, tap. Wham!
Of course, somebody
else.
Such
a jerk, right?
Right.
But he knows the water. He knows the bait. He knows the timing. He knows the fish. He's sharp. He's ready. He's set apart from the rest of us, which is the definition of holiness. Being set apart.
Oh, yeah.
That's my tie for today. I want to talk about holiness. And I was like, how do I get there? This man set himself apart. In fishing, but his brother-in-law and I, we would just, I swear, we'd cast the same spot 50 times. It didn't matter. He'd be like, yeah, I know there's a fish there.
I fish with guys like that. They drive you crazy.
And I swear, I watch his bait land exactly where mine landed. I watch him flick it. I feel like we're doing the exact same. And I caught a lot of fish. It wasn't like I didn't catch fish. It was those spots, those extra special moments where he knew what I didn't know and was able to show me with evidence.
I mean, you know, water conditions, color of the lure, depending upon how muddy it is or how clear it is. I mean,
dude, I handed him my rod one time because I was mad at him. Like,
and he just...
His name was Jeff. He is a great guy. I don't see him anymore, but he's a great guy. Holiness, I think, is one of those things that Well, let me share a totally different story. This is a wedding story. When my wife and I got married almost 33 years ago, we chose to get married barefoot, completely barefoot. We wanted to honor the ground we were standing on as holy ground for our wedding, which has been ever special ever since. You know, think about Moses. You know, there's twice in the Bible that these guys are told to take off their shoes because they're standing on holy ground. And holiness is just one of those things where I don't know if we focus on it enough. You know, we try to tame the world, but and we're not even of the world. But this idea of holiness and being set apart for God, by God, for God, there's just so much you can unpack where that stuff's concerned.
Yeah, and I think everybody thinks holiness is dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's.
Yeah, being perfect, as if we could.
Yeah.
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 And I think a lot of guys give up because they go, I could never be like that, so I'm not even going to try. God's not asking you to try.
No.
You trust him.
Yeah, we're wrapped in his holiness. If he didn't send his son, none of us would have enough to bank on.
Yeah. John Lynch, a friend of mine, had written a book. It's called The Cure. And, you know, one of the things that John talks about many, many times is, and here's a story. You can go on YouTube and find this. I'm trying to think of what it's called. But is it called The Two Rooms? But there are these two doors. And this man is walking down, and it comes to the fork in the road, and he sees these two. This one sign says, pleasing God, and the other one says, trusting God.
Mm.
And he thinks, well, you know, holiness, I'm supposed to please God. So he chooses that.
Yep.
And when he gets to the door, he goes in. There's a woman wearing a mask, and she invites him in. And I forget what it said above the door. It was basically like try harder kind of a room, right? And he walks in, and everybody's got masks on. Everybody's perfect. You know, they've all got their degrees, perfect clothes, no crumbs anywhere from food. It's perfect. And he's realizing, I don't fit in this room. Mm. And so he goes back to the fork in the road, and he sees the sign again. And one says, pleasing God, and he chose. And he goes, well, maybe it's trusting God. And when he goes to that door, above it, it says the room of grace. And when he opens the door, the woman doesn't have on a mask. You can see the wrinkles and everything in her face, and she invites him in. And, you know, at first, you know, she's like, you know, you don't have to, because he still has the mask on from the other room. They handed him a mask. She goes, you don't have to have that here. You can take that off.
Wow.
And he walks in, and it's not a perfect room. There are people crying over here, laughing over here. There's crumbs on the table. There's lipstick on a glass over here. It's totally different from the other room. And she says, it's okay to confess whatever you're going through. And the man begins to yell. She goes, like, are you okay? He's like, no, I'm not okay. You know, he's screaming out. I don't know what he was screaming, like, you know, my wife left me. I've got health issues, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then someone in the back of the room, when they hear him, they go, is that all you got? And they all go in and they begin to have a conversation. That's real life. Christ in you is where your holiness comes from, not from your performance.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely love that story. What a way with words. You know, it's kind of like our church. If you, or any church, pick a church building is what I'm really referring to, not God's people, the church, but pick a church building. If you go into that church and you feel like you're not perfect enough, get out of that church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Come to mine.
Run. Don't walk.
Come to mine. We'll show you how it is. It's all good. But you know what I mean?
Yes.
I think that's a really good analogy for any room you walk into today. Yeah. If you don't feel perfect enough, you're in the wrong room. You got to feel comfortable.
And it doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, right?
No. I think people think they're going to walk into the church doors and burst into flames or something, but ain't none of us holy enough there to make that happen.
Or someone knows me and they know my past. I can't go there. What if they tell somebody else?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I heard someone say that to me one time and I was like, don't you know their past?
Right.
They were like, oh yeah, I kind of do. Okay.
Everybody has sin.
We're all on even ground in there.
Yeah. And the thing I hate about environments like that is they have sin, but either they don't want to confess it to themselves or before God or whatever. It's terrible because now you don't have that closeness with God where you're surrendered.
There's no real community.
Yeah.
Everything is completely shallow.
Yep.
I don't mind shallow relationships if I know and the other person knows that it's shallow and it's on purpose. Yep. Like, we just don't have time to get to know each other any better. Right. That's why it's shallow. Right.
We all have some of those kind of relationships. Yeah. But I want the relationships like you and I have been developing. You know, when I'm going through this heart issue. By now, if you're hearing this, I've probably already been in surgery, and you know I'm waiting to get discharged, hopefully within a couple of days of this. But you've been messaging me, brother, I'm praying for you.
Yeah, you bet.
You know, you prayed for me before we even started today. You were praying for me. I want the deep relationships. Yeah. You can have guys, you go to a ball game or you kind of all, you know, yeah. But you can't serve. You got to have close brothers.
Yeah,
you do.
It's just not the same. And, you know, I think men in particular, it's interesting. This has nothing to do with holiness, but I'm going to say it anyway because it's just on my mind. But we have a way of reconnecting after a decade, 22 decades, 3 decades, and we're kind of right back where we left off.
Yeah.
That's because of depth of the relationship. There's just something to that. And I say guys, I haven't seen gals have that. It just seems natural for men to have that a little bit easier maybe than ladies do it. And I wonder if it's not the depth of the relationship that we tend to build. Most of my guy friends, like, if they're friends of mine, they're probably pretty good friends. You know, there's not a lot of shallow guy relationships I have. I mean, there's the people I play pickleball with, or, you know, or maybe go fishing with on a Saturday with a group of 5 or 6 guys or something. But for the most part, people like you, people like my brother-in-law, who's a really good friend, people like James and other friends I have in town. If Dave Bailey and I reconnected in a moment's notice, we would be right back where we were as roommates in college.
Yeah.
Right back.
I love those relationships.
Yeah.
There's Roger, no question. The guy that I would be elk hunting with coming
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
You know, when we go hunting together, he would always say this, God, we just pray for a successful hunt. And sometimes that includes an animal because it's about the time together in before God and in his beauty and with each other and tears,
sure.
laughter, everything. When I drive to Colorado to go hunting with some of my other buddies, it's not the arrival and the beauty, which is awesome, that grows us. It's those conversations that we have on the way there about real life. You've got 20, 22 hours of driving to get there. I love that part.
And those are the best. I don't know how many times we could have flown somewhere, and I'm like, let's drive.
Yeah.
Let's drive. Because the stories.
Diners, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, one time my buddy Chris and I went into a diner. We were on the way back from a long drive down to Florida to watch Dave Bailey, of all people, get married. We're on the drive back. We're in nowhere, Kentucky, I think. And we go into this diner, and I kid you not, this is kind of how it works. We sit down at the table. We both have to use the restroom. He gets up first and heads back to the restroom. I kind of wait a bit, and I'm like, yeah, no one's going to steal our stuff. I'm just going to, I mean, like, keys and, I mean, know what we had. We didn't even carry, like, Yetis or whatever back then, like, you know.
Right.
It was just, like, my keys. So I'm like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom, too. So I head back, and I go to the bathroom. He's coming out of the door as I'm going into the door. So we pass each other. I go in and use the restroom. I come back out, and I sit down, and he goes, did you notice anything funny? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, there was nowhere to stand up and pee when we went into that bathroom. I said, oh, you're right. He said, we both used the women's room. I said, are you kidding me? He goes, no. And he goes, what do you remember? He goes, is there anything else you remember? And I go, yeah, I remember coming out and seeing some guy's black boots. I just remember a guy in black boots by the pool table across the room from us. He goes, that's exactly what I remember. Guy in black boots across the room from us.
Oh.
And I said, I got to go back there and look. And I walked back there and look, big old women above the door and a picture of a woman on the door.
Oh, man.
We both walked past the men's room and into the women's room.
So, okay.
And
so,
how's that, like, how does that happen?
So,
I know how to read, and I've never walked into a women's room accidentally before, and we both do it the same night?
We're on a trip. And there was 4 of us, and one of the guys had to pee constantly. I mean, he was drinking Diet Coke nonstop. I think we're in Oklahoma. We're on a Western trip somewhere. And he's like, we said, listen, if you got to go, get in the back of the van, dude, just pee in a cup.
Yeah. Right?
We're like,
yeah.
We can't keep stopping. 30 minutes later, I got to go. It's like 11 o'clock. McDonald's is the only place open. So he goes in there. This is so great. He goes in and he runs. We're going, man, he's really got to go. So my buddy Mark and I, we go walking in, and we go in the men's restroom, and we're finished doing our business, washing our hands.
Like,
and I don't realize this.
Where's your boy?
Yeah, where is he? I come walking out, and you know how the doors face each other, the men's and women's in a McDonald's? Yeah. And the women's door opens up at the same time I'm coming out, and here comes this blonde-haired woman. Her face is as red as can be.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's got her hand over her face. She's cracking up, laughing. And right behind him comes my buddy. And I look at him and I go, what are you doing in the women's bathroom? He goes, you ain't never going to believe this. He goes in there Well, he didn't have to use a urinal. He needed to use a stall. His stomach was upset.
Okay.
So he runs.
That's why he was running.
Didn't even looking for a urinal, right? So he goes in this stall. I guess there's two stalls in there. He sits down. He's doing his business. And he says, I hear the door open up. And I look over and someone gets in the stall. I thought they were your tennis shoes, he said.
Oh, my word.
He said, so I'm making all kinds of noise.
Oh, my gosh.
He says, so I start taking my hands and pressing them against my mouth to make more noise.
Oh, my gosh.
He goes, and you're still not laughing. So I start taking toilet paper off and throwing it over the top.
Oh, my gosh.
He goes, and you're still not laughing. He's like, I'm walking out. And here's this woman washing her hands, beet red. And he goes, no. She's like, yes. And I always tell people, and that woman, I ended up marrying her. That's my wife. But then I say, I'm just kidding. The story is true.
Not a bad woman to marry, probably, just based on the surface of it here.
So, yeah, that was
hilarious. If she laughs at that instead of calling the police.
But those road stories.
It's like exactly.
When you go into like a truck stop and there's like six urinals, right? What's the etiquette that men do? If there's two guys.
You have to skip a space at least.
You got at least, if there's six and there's two of you, you're skipping all of
them. Yeah,
there's
at least one space.
You just, when your buddy goes in first, if there's nobody in there, you go over and you stand right
next to him.
Right next to him.
Heck yes. And then if someone else comes in and you look at him like, I can't believe this guy stood next to me.
I know, right.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we got off of holiness there.
It's okay to have fun like
this. I hope so.
Yes.
I believe God gave us our sense of humor. Some of us are better than others, but I think just there's so many bad analogies. Hunter wears orange. He's set apart.
like in The Chosen. I loved the humanity side of this. When the disciples are all together, they're cracking jokes. They're teasing each other. You know, it's real.
You know it had to be some of that stuff.
Oh, it had to be.
I mean.
Dear God, thou hast. You know, come on.
We just watched, Mel Gibson's.
Oh, The Passion of the Christ?
No. Where he gives his great speech to all his Scottish.
Braveheart.
Yes, thank you.
I see an army here of my men gathered in the face of tyranny.
Yes, that one. So, but do you remember when it starts? It's just the two little boys out there having fun, and they're like
Hamish and.
Yeah, and they're just smacking each other, like beating the crap out of each other. And I just think that's, there's just something. Anyway, we're way off on holiness, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but I love that.
It's that communion, though.
Oh. It's that band of brothers. When you think about God has called us, and we're speaking to men here, we are his band of brothers. God put himself in you, and that's the connection that you and I have with each other and those who are listening. The Holy Spirit within you, it resonates when we're talking about this.
Yes, it does. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've got bonds like we have and why we can reconnect after little to no time of hanging out and decades pass and boom, you're just right back kind of where you left off.
Yep.
Yeah. And then there's guys that I didn't have that relationship with and it's weird, awkward. You have to choose, do you want to build a relationship out of this or not? You know?
Yeah. And they probably have a story too. There's a reason why they don't go deeper. Either it's because we know we're not going to see each other much. So it does take away some of my time from the other things that I'm invested in. I mean, there's lots of reasons.
Holiness is what we are to strive towards, but also at the same time, right? Because we're told, be holy as I'm holy, right? We read that in Leviticus. We read that in Peter. And it's a worthwhile destination. At the same time, we read in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. We read in 2 Corinthians. We're sanctified in Christ. We read that Christ's righteousness makes us holy. In other words, we're covered and already there without having to earn it, which is a major price. It's kind of like you and your elk license. You didn't earn an elk license, did you?
Right.
It was paid for.
Right.
Yeah, just like our righteousness is paid for. We don't earn it. Just like us in Christ, we can't earn our salvation. We can't earn our perfection, our holiness.
Well, it's like when I think about Romans 3:22, we think about earning it. Romans 3:22 says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. So where does it says this righteousness comes from God, and is it your works? No, through faith. In who? Christ Jesus. Who's it good for?
Exactly.
All who believe.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I spent the last 2 years, I'm an elder at our church, and I spent the last 2 years, and every time I had a communion message, which was probably about four times a year, maybe five times a year, but I did them all on holiness one way or another. And one of the last ones I did a two-parter. I said to the worship leader, I was like, can I do a two-part communion message?
So they drink only half of the thing and break
the bread in half. Save it for next week. He's like, what do you mean? And I go, well, I kind of want to tee up next week with this week. And if I tee up the next time I talk, which is probably 2 or 3 months from now, it won't be quite the same effect. He said, sure. So I teed it up by talking about holy ground and saying to everyone in our services, let's think about next week coming prepared to take communion. We walk, you've been at our church.
Yeah. You,
so we walk forward now that COVID's happened. We walk forward to the front and we all take communion at the front. So kind of aisle by aisle, you walk down, you grab your cup, you grab your bread, you move over to the trash can, you consume and throw away the cups. I said, let's do it barefoot next week. And about half the group took off their shoes before communion. It was incredibly special. Walked up in their socks or barefoot, took communion, went back, put their shoes back on. Kind of cool. Because the whole community is doing it together. You know what I mean?
You know, when I shared in last week's podcast about the upper room, how I went up there to pray before God. I remember as I was walking up the stairs and I got to the last flight that was going up, the second part of that, I almost felt like I should take my shoes off because I'm thinking about like holy ground. You know, you're thinking about, you know, Moses or whatever. And it hit me because I felt like almost like I was walking into the Holy of Holies because I went there to enter the presence. I'm all in the presence of God right now as we're here, but it was a moment that was, it felt set apart.
Yes. There are those moments. Like when we hunt, we're in, like Colorado's just such a great example because you and I've got plenty of years of hunting there. There are times when you're in Colorado where you're just like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just the calm, the peace, the view, the sound or the lack of sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Or the lack of the wrong sound. And you're like, how am I so blessed? Because we're set apart in that moment. And we feel it. Like, I just feel the Lord's Spirit like hovering right there, just dwelling where we're at, you know? Dwelling in our tents.
I'm there in my head. You just started talking.
I know, right?
About it, and it's just like, brings a peace over me.
Yeah, I can go there.
It's like, I was thinking about that, this little hand-built cabin up there where your buddy Kevin was looking across the valley one time.
Yes.
He could see where I was. It was like 10 miles away. But it's like being out there on the porch at night and there's no cities near. And the heavens and the outline of the mountain against the sky and the moon and the clouds drifting in front of it. It's in that moment, I feel so safe because a God that's that big, that's that holy, that he spoke it into being, that he spoke me into being, that he knows my name, that he knows what I'm going through right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's because we're pursuing a trophy that is worth pursuing, but it's a relationship with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brent, why don't you close us out like normal this week, and then I will work towards memorizing your awesome, your awesome, heartfelt men getting too unleashed.
Yeah, you know it's weird because I know that for the next, at least for the next few weeks, the ball is being handed off. You're going to do this, and you're going to do incredible with this. I know. Yeah, well,
I've left myself some time to come back in and re-record an update on you. So that's kind of why I'm
pulling us off
a little bit early today.
That's okay. And I appreciate it. And again, thank you. Thank you all. I know you've been praying since last week when you heard that podcast. We will still need your prayers because we want to continue reaching men. And here's the thing that's burning in me right now is, you know, as we've been working on that new Unleashed book and I've been working on the Big Five Man Killers, it's about equipping other men because God made you with a divine purpose. He made you unique. Just like when we go to Colorado and we're looking at these, each mountain is different. Each man is different. His story is different. His heart is different. But the thing that's unique is when Christ is in us, at the core of who we are, God's Spirit and our spirit, that's where we are the same. We are his children. We are his beloved. So I want you to remember this, that when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous, dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. See you next time.
Man, I've got an update for you on Brent. First of all, praise the Lord. The surgery went well. ended up being a quadruple bypass, which is, of course, I think the maximum number you can have for a heart surgery like that. And his recovery has gone well. Now, Brent is up 22 pounds from the surgery, and that is all fluid retention, which is more than we want him to be. So they are working on reducing that with the catheter and taking it down to help him avoid pneumonia. So keep him in prayer for those things. But overall, guys, it's just been awesome. We've got great updates from Stacy, praise after praise after praise. You know, the day of the surgery went hours and hours and hours, and each update was fantastic and just overall really good. I need to share with you, though, you know, Brent is, Brent's a man's man. I love that guy, and he's just an absolute beast. But at the same time, Brent, like all of us at some point in our lives, could use some help. And while he would tell you that prayer is the number one thing he wants from you, I will tell you that he also needs financial assistance. This is a tough time for their family. He is self-employed and facing some large medical bills. So not only the medical bills, but the monthly bills piling up while he is unable to earn income in his normal way of speaking engagements, etc. So we've put together a GoFundMe. So let me share with you that information so we can pour into Brent in the way that he has poured into us. If you go to GoFundMe.com, that's G-O for go, fund, F-U-N-D, me.com. You can hit the search icon, which is the little magnifying glass up in the top left-hand corner. And if you just search for Brent Henderson, you will see that there is an image, actually three images of Brent, one with a deer, a couple of them hunting. And it says Brent and Stacy Henderson's medical and monthly expenses by me, Kevin Huff. That's the title you want to look for. Anything else out there that anyone puts would be a fake or fraudulent GoFundMe request. So the only authorized, if you will, version is Brent and Stacy Henderson's medical and monthly expenses by Kevin Huff. And that's where you can donate. And I do pray that you would find it on your heart to, as I said before, pour into Brent like he's never experienced before from his community, the way he has poured into us. Fellas, we love you very much, and we appreciate you. We appreciate your support, listening to this podcast, and we hope that you continue to find value in what we bring. And we, with open hearts and ears and minds, look forward to hearing from you.